Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is June 22nd. Today is Monday, and it is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. The phone numbers to call today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling from the Family Island, the number is 242-357-20. If you decide to text me to join us on the text line powered by BTC, the phone number is 422-GR96. That is 422-4796. It's the beginning of the week. Today is going to be an open line Monday. I have one or two things I want to put out to you that had me not concerned, not necessarily entertained, but the conversation is worth discussing. I'm going to read the editorial of The Guardian by Candia Deems. I thought her editorial is worth discussing, because the editorial involves one of my favorite MPs. No, not my MP, Fred Mitchell, right? He's not in the news right now. But Mr. Halkidis, Michael Halkidis, he's a sacker. He's a sack boy. Therefore, I have a defensive stand when it comes to him. I like him. He's a genuine, good fellow. And so when there's critique about him, I tend to sit back and say, let me analyze it. But what Ms. Deems has written is worth discussing, worth hashing out. It is worth our consideration. The headline or the editorial reads, "A hogwash explanation." I conclude it wasn't hogwash explanation. It was hard for me to admit that. It's very unfortunate. And the editorial open is about... Let me just read it one time. Minister of Finance Michael Halkidis has provided a hogwash explanation on the distribution of building supplies vouchers during the recent election campaign. His explanation was wholly inadequate and insulting to the very taxpayers whose taxes funded those vouchers. It has been widely reported and never disputed by the Davis administration that the vouchers issued in Abaco carried the name of the Progressive Liberal Party, PLP, candidate, Mr. Bradley Fox, who is now the MP for Central and South Abaco. Reportedly, over $200,000 in vouchers were purchased from premier importers by the Ministry of Finance. Halkidis's answer to reporters on Friday continues to lack of accountability on the issue and may signal to us the kind of finance minister he intends to be, one who employs characteristics, PLP strategies of obfuscation and gaslighting. Glaringly, he did not explain why those vouchers had the candidate's name on them. Asked by reporters about those vouchers, he said, "The point to make is that the issue was raised, I think, because the leader of the opposition says he saw the report in a newspaper. And so that speaks to the transparency of the process. The vouchers were obtained. They went through the procurement process, and it's a part of a long-standing government program in Abaco and in Grand Bahama. Individuals are still impacted or still feeling the impact of Hurricane Dorian. And so there's a program to do small home repairs. It's also here in New Providence where individuals may not have the wherewithal to repair their homes and throughout the islands. The fact of the matter is the issue was raised, I think, because transparency of the process. Where if you look in the newspaper, you see the see the March report, the monthly report of Procurement Board printed in the newspaper showing that this issue went through the Procurement Board. I think they may have other issues as to the method of some of the distribution. I can't speak to that. There are several significant observations and questions raised by the minister's response. Firstly, the matter of the vouchers in question, the ones distributed in Abaco, was raised weeks before the published procurement report that showed the March contracts, which amount to $900,000. More importantly, the March procurement report published at the end of May did not show the premier importers' vouchers that specifically came into question, the ones reported to have the PLP candidate's name. We don't know if there was a competitive bidding for that. That is likely because the contract was entered into even closer to the general election than the voucher than the other vouchers contracts contained in the March report. Those $900,000 in vouchers contracts also require a clear explanation. It is alarming that Halkidis, a finance minister, cannot speak to the method of the distribution of the vouchers. Further, it is pathetic that Halkidis believes that printing a lying item in the official gazette amounts to full transparency. If that's his standard of transparency, we are in deep trouble. This is absolute nonsense. Transparency has to involve much more than that. Bahamians don't just need to know what was done. They should know why it was done, how it was done, and who did it, etc. When was the Pacific Dorian Rebuilding Initiative announced, and how did people qualify to get a voucher? How many people receive vouchers? When did they receive them? What amounts did they each individual receive? Which agency is running the program? Upon coming to office in 2021, the Prime Minister Philip Davis infamously raised holy hell over what he claimed was a lack of controls with the food distribution program operated by the Minister administration during the pandemic. The Attorney General did not find his claim to be correct. May we now have an accounting on what audit and management controls are in place for this building vouchers program? And since hurricane rebuilding programs were purportedly on, what were the other efforts that were made at hurricane relief over the course of the term? And do those efforts appear in a monthly procurement report or any other report? How is it that only effort known came during an election campaign in a similarly sporadic manner it came with a candidate's name on it? Halkidis promised an accounting during the recent budget debate in the House that never came. The Prime Minister, who was Minister of Finance during the last term, ignored opposition requests to explain the matter in Parliament. If money was used from the Consolidated Fund to further finance of a candidate's political campaign, that was an illegal act. The Davis administration ought to do a more convincing job at demonstrating that this was not the case. And that was that editorial by Ms. Candia Deems. I am concerned about my money, the people's money, taxpayers' money being used as campaign financing of a particular candidate or of a government. We know that is illegal. We know that both political parties must have sought and find and source their own monies to campaign with. But you can't use the public purse to campaign for any particular government. The very idea that Bradley Fox's name is on the vouchers that it was supposed to be given to people for hurricane, seems to me, just saying me, I ain't simple. I mean, sometimes I feel simple. But these people have us a simple to suggest that, no, this is not campaign funds being used. It was something for the benefit of Bahamian people, especially when there's no checks and balance. And our government owes the Bahamian people, owes me, owes the people at the sound of my voice, an explanation. And that there is a hogwash explanation. That don't make no sense. That's garbage. And someone needs to apologize to me and you for that explanation. I wanted to read that because I endorse what Ms. Candia Deem said in that case. It's very unfortunate because I like Mr. Halkidis. Mr. Halkidis was not Minister of Finance at the time. The Prime Minister was the Minister of Finance at the time. That means the Prime Minister signed off and allowed a person who was campaigning for his political party to put his name on vouchers that the Bahamian people paid for. That there, it's problematic. There's no excuse for it. Here's, we were wrong. It should not have happened. We would try to make some kind of recompense. That's the conclusion. But that explanation there, garbage. And it's very insulting to the Bahamian people. And someone owes me to an apology because someone take me as an Inagua donkey. And I don't like being an Inagua donkey. They swim with only their nose inside, facing out of the water. Anyway, this text says, the Minister of Finance thinks that people are stupid. He is saying the matter fact that it went through all of the protocols shows transparency. What this showed me was the government paid an aspiring candidate to get votes. It's very unfortunate. I'm hoping that is not the case. But clearly, it shows that something concerning happened. And I need an explanation for that. I want to hear some commentary about the government's new proposal on, let's see if I can read it right here. The government's proposed changes to the vehicle licensing fee and registration requirements. I see a number of people are concerned. I want to know whether you are concerned. I want to know if I should be concerned. I'm going to highlight one or two of the changes, if I may. One of the changes, the proposed amendments would restructure vehicle licensing fees based on weight. Me having a small car, it didn't matter to me. Those people have them big trucks, you know. It could hit you all, but whether you want to be concerned, this is the time you raise the concern now. There's an increase in fees for some vehicles classes. You know, they have different vehicle classes. Those who are different need to raise your concern now and ask what is happening. Now, this is what struck me and I got concerned. To introduce penalties for late renewals. I'm a working class man. I have three jobs, right? And in fact, this time, and I can tell you the story. I have a good mechanic. He's family. He's had my car for 3 years trying to fix it. Right? I can call him today because I just remembered that. Let's forget that he has my car. It's one of those Japanese, what kind of car is it? I didn't even forget the car because I only had it for 6 months when I got it from Japan and it had some kind of electrical problem. But the seat was warm. It could warm the seat. It had all the trinkets of those high-end vehicles for this Japanese car. Cameras all over the place. Right? When it's spry come on the windshield, the windshield come on by itself, the car used to speak, please move away from the car. It was a beautiful car because when I ordered it, I said, I want this car trick up. Every possible tricks to be on this car, I want it on the car. Car come on its own rims. It's a beautiful car. What kind of car was it? It's a cruise. It's a cruise. But it had Korean parts in it. So that's what caused the problems. And I have to be ordering Korean parts instead of Japanese parts. And it's a left-hand cruise, right? My car hasn't been licensed for 2 years. My mechanic already tell me, you know, when you plan to license this car, you got to back pay all of those years the car being off. But I said, I haven't driven the car in 2 years. I don't think I need to be paying back fee for a car I have not driven. And he said, that's the law. He recommended what I got to do. He said, you need to sell the car. So I plan to sell the car to the child. The child is now 18 and she needs a car. So I'm going to sell her. Say, child, buy this car from daddy for $2. It's your car now. Go, therefore, and license it. But now the government is saying that if I had to license in my name, because I'm more likely might have to still do that, right? I got to be paying late fees. The car don't drive. Why I got to be paying late fees for a car that hasn't been on the road? Something is problematic with that. Why punish me? That it makes me try, it forces me now to try look for some skullduggery to maneuver around. You don't make your citizens into criminals. And I think this particular late renewal and require a certificate of title for every vehicle imported into the Bahamas, it can be problematic, right? Under the proposal, Class A vehicles weighing up to 3,000 pounds would continue to attract a $160 license fee, while Class B vehicles weighing between 3,000 and 5,000 pounds would now pay $215. Class C vehicles weighing between 5,000 and 1,500 pounds would pay $610, and Class D vehicles over 15,000 pounds would pay $760. I've been trying to plot on an S10 truck for so long, and I say I can't get nothing for under $10,000. But see, they're making it difficult. Why make it difficult for behemoths to empower behemoths and say they're not thinking about me? Let's go to this caller. Guardian Radio AM, you are live. Go ahead, caller.
Well, CA, good morning. You bring up a valid point today. How you can pay for the car when they ain't driving?
How I can pay for the car when they ain't driving?
Well, we told you, we warned you.
What you warned us about?
See, I told you the fees were going up and probably a lot of other stuff. But nobody listened. So now Grammy say you got a feel. You know, what we should do is move that 10-year ban off of cars. That's the first thing. The second thing we should do is when you're bringing in a car, right? Left-hand drive, a U.S. model. So it could be Ford, Chevy, or Dodge, but it could also be Kia, Hyundai, Honda, Toyota. But it's the model that goes to the United States of America. Why? Because when you start or don't start, and they don't have it here at the car parts places, you could always jump on Amazon and get it out of the States in 2 days. But when you allow whatever buck up go, and, you know, you might go to the States and find a nice Camry for $1,400. Grammy had it, passed away, and she passed away, and the kids just come get the car. And the thing is brand new. But you do need two things. You need a Carfax. That's $49, and that protects you, the consumer in the Bahamas, who don't know about no car engine and where the parts come from. And it needs worthiness. They call it a MOT in England. And that's where they go in and check the stuff coming out the muffler. They check the brakes. They check everything on that car. So you know you got a quality car you could get parts for. And left-hand drive, better you at the bridge. You ain't having to put no money in a basket. You know what I'm saying? So we need to have decorum. And I said this to, oh, man, when was this? Back in 2013, 14? To the then minister. But seemed like we can keep going this way with a car dripping everything, transmission, brake fluid, oil. And what that stuff does when it hits tar, it makes the tar soft. And then the rain come and you got pothole. So we really shouldn't tar roads if the car them leaking everything all over the place. But between the gas, where we refuse to drop all the fees and the duty and the taxes, at least until Trump war over, to make it easy for our citizens, we just can keep putting the licks on you. And guess what going up next? Maybe the driver's license fee. And maybe all the other Amazon shipping fees, customs entry fee, custom processing fee. We told you before election, the fees are going up, all of them. So get used, Mr. CA. Now I got to run. You have any question before I go?
Pray for us.
But you have a good one, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your commentary. I'm just saying they're trying to make criminals out of us because when we are unable to pay, we now try to find options on how we can circumvent the law. And that's unfortunate. It shouldn't be doing that. I see a number of car dealerships saying that they weren't consulted and that the government promised that it would be consulting them in terms of implementing new laws and new fees and new ordinances. And clearly, that is not happening. We have another caller on the line. Let's read this text before we connect to the caller. It says, good day, good morning, CA. I guess the reason why the PLP won by such a large margin, they can say and do anything. The MP for North Abaco said if he was the Minister of Works, he would only pave roads in the PLP constituency. Some progress. And I'm not sure if he said that. However, if he did say it, the people need to speak. That's all they need. The people need to show him what people power is. Nobody decided to march. His constituency didn't get vexed. They didn't demand an apology. So that means the majority like what he said. Let's go to the caller before I read his next test. Go ahead, caller. You're live. God in radio AM.
See, you're hitting all the cylinders today. Morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Does morality or does your level of wealth determine your morality? Because you just said, you said something very salient. I'm a public service worker. And the conversation around the watering holes is, I just have to tip a little bit more now.
Say, oh, God.
So, you think when the politicians and the uppity-ups go and have to pay their banking fees or whatever it is, tip, they get a little break on it? Because I'm sure that they know this tax, it doesn't affect them. The lawmakers who levy the taxes on us and the people who support it, what they call the shareholders of the country, they could easily write this up on the paper and then we're going to have to squabble about it down here in the doldrums. But when was the last time? This is my last question before I go. I really want you to answer this.
Okay.
Because it seems like when I drive my guests and when I talk to people who don't live here, we have in the same conversation, the same narrative is, well, when the war is over, the gas price is going to drop. That's what they said. When COVID was over, the grocery price was going to drop. And before, when they invaded Iran, the gas price was going to drop. And when they catch Bin Laden, the gas price is going to drop. So my question is, when was the last time the gas price dropped after such a spike? And do you think it's going to drop? And if it doesn't drop, what do you think is going to happen? Thanks for taking my call.
And I'm glad you asked that question because someone in my inbox asked me that question today. And I concluded before gas will go up to $10. $10 per gallon, and we need to brace ourselves with that. $10 a gallon, I predict gas is going to go up before it drops any significant number. I think that's scary. I think that's scary, and it's going to impact all of the Bahamas when it goes up to $10 per gallon. And I think that we, our Minister of Economic Affairs, Minister of Finance, start having these tough conversations of what will happen to the Bahamas if gas goes and reaches up to $10. We need to have some kind of strategy, start voicing that strategy that the Bahamian people will start dealing it. Would it be our contingency plan then? This text says, morning, go off to school for 4 years and you will be forced to pay the driver license for those years you were out of the country. Also, it's very common to not find parts for Japanese car and be off the road for at least a year. I know, Texter. So when if I could prove my mechanic writes a letter and say, yes, I had my car park in Fox Hill. It there. I purchased another car so I could drive around because that's how long that car being down, right? And I don't see why I could be paying no back license. That just don't make no sense. I know my insurance called me the year after and said, you ain't coming to license your car. And I said, man, this car being down, I was hoping. In fact, I had insured it, anticipating that it was going to be on the road sooner than later. It didn't happen. So that expired. And the next year, I said, well, I can't insure this car to have it parked. So I am concerned. They're not thinking for people like me. Let's read this text before I go to the next phone line. Good morning, CA. I was thinking that for a while now, they want us to sin and break the law. They want us to be criminals. In fact, they are creating criminals, more customers for them. Remember, the politicians are lawyers. They are criminal lawyers. It all comes hand in hand. That's what the people voted for on May 12th, more taxes and mediocre services. So let them catch hell on earth. The people who voted aren't catching hell, no. They're having a good time. It's people like you who didn't vote for them. You are suffering. We suffering. So I hear you, Texter, but that don't make no sense because you are suffering like the rest of we. So when you talk, he can't say that's what y'all voted for. You so let them suffer. It's you suffering. Nuri, it was always like that. If your car is off the road for a year, you have to pay for that prior year. My car being off the road for 3 years, like I said, I can't pay those 3 years back. Say something wrong, especially the car being down. Oh, gosh. This is what they call progress. I like to play on words. Progress. They let them suffer. See, they always saying them. Who's them? Let them suffer and sweat. Don't feel sorry for them. It's what they voted for. That's the next texter saying, I say the people who voted PLP are suffering. Like they don't live here in the Bahamas. Like they ain't paying the same bill like us in the Bahamas. Texter, makes sense. You suffering. We suffering. The Bahamas suffering. They can't say them. Right? And you don't vote PLP, right? But you still suffer. Let's go to the caller there. Guardian Radio AM, you live.
Hey, great show, Julius. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Right, approximately about 4 to 5 months ago, right, when I called the talk show and I spoke about the problems and how problematic it's going to be when the gas prices raise, right? People stick their head in the sand, was talking about election, the COI, this, that, the next. I keep on mentioning the gas prices are going to raise. Everyone ignored the whole topic and everything, right? Now you all be seeing it as a problem. But how could people not see this is going to be a problem with the war going on and the prices raising in the States? No one can see this is going to become problematic.
It is what it is. That's all I can say. Watch this text. I appreciate you, Colin. Watch this text. You know, when you point out an issue, and there's always a texter or caller who will who try to change the dynamics of the conversation, right, for their benefits. Let's listen to this. Listen to this texter. The texter believe they're smart, no, but listen to them, right? Say, when will Ms. Deems write an article about the drug trafficking incident in a boat owned by the former cabinet who is still allowed to run in the 2026 elections? In the trafficking, not a conspiracy to ship. We know the name of the politician involved. If he isn't directly involved with the drug shipment, we say, so what? He knows the drug trafficker. That is all the Bahamians are concerned about, correct? Now, we talking about the politician campaigning with my funds, my money, and they trying to obfuscate the whole conversation. They ain't want to talk about that. They said, why do we talk about this? I talking about something went wrong. Let's correct that, you know? But they ain't want to correct it. That's how we Bahamian go. How do you know? Say, Brother Nuri, this present administration surely thinks of Bahamian people as counts. We need a better government for a brighter future. Too much taxes in the Bahamas. Let's go to the callers there. And then I have an article about Singapore again. Why Bahamians like talk about Singapore so much? We can never be a Singapore. I said that and Marlon Johnson get mad at me. We can never be a Singapore. I said that and Dr. Gilbert Morris get mad at me. And I can explain why. Even Jamaica said they won't be like Singapore. Barbados said they won't be like Singapore. I think when they went to some meeting in some foreign land, they say, all of y'all need to be like Singapore. And they brought it home and try to spread the propaganda, but it ain't working. Because we ain't closer to Singapore. And we've been talking about this for the next 25 odd years. It ain't got. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hey, Mr. Nuri.
How you doing, man?
Mr. Nuri, you can if you don't come outside, right? You can never, right? If you don't go outside, you can always be inside. You could never be inside and outside at the same time, mm-hmm. right? So, in other words, anybody could be like Singapore if they decide to move like Singapore, right? But you know,
let's talk about that. Let's talk about
that. We are as a people.
See, that's where right? we are. That's where we are. That is not who we are as a people.
It's intentional. It is intentional. It boils right back to governance, right? For instance, we're talking about the gas heights, right? In the Bahamas, if anybody is watching, from the price went up from $5 to the $5 mark, right? In this country, the gas never went down from then, from the $5 mark, and that's like 15 years ago, right? the gas never gone down. Because, see, the government continued to brainwash the Bayman people with eloquent sounding words, but they ain't feeling it in their pocket because if the government's seriously interested in the Bayman people, all they have to do is go write the cabinet, right, and remove the tax of what the government is receiving, like other civilized countries did, like Barbados and others, right? So that they could relieve the burden off the backs of the taxpayers. The key word is taxpayers, right? But in the Bahamas, you only looked at as a taxpayer, despite they even ain't trying to figure out where you can get this money to pay the tax. They still implementing more tax on the back of the Bayman. But it is what it is. And like what the people, like the statement with somebody you're texting saying is poor grass. Have a nice day.
Thanks. Let me start a quick reading this article before I take a commercial break, and then you take a commercial before I start reading the article. Okay, we'll take a commercial break. Call us ICU. I want to read this a letter addressed to Mr. Holness, who is the Prime Minister of Jamaica. They're talking about Singapore too, just like Barbados talking about Singapore too. And the writer brought up some concepts or ideas what I echo at the same time, and I want you to see what you think about it. Call us. If you can hold on for me, and we will be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 2423 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but Grove it the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guess who's back?
It's the time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now, let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody, we're going.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Let me quickly read this paragraph. It's a excerpt from a Mr. Richard Hugh Blackford, a Jamaican who is addressing Mr. Holden's speech about Jamaica becoming like a Singapore. And it's an excerpt I'm going to read. I'm not going to read the entire thing. And I'm coming to you right now, caller. It says, the central factor that transformed Singapore into the economic powerhouse it is today, Singapore invested heavily in its people. The city-state did not become wealthy because it erected gleaming skyscrapers, world-class airports, and modern highways. Those were the outcomes of a deliberate strategy that placed education, skill development, discipline, and human capital at the center of national development. No country stumbles into a per capita GDP of over US $90,000 with an undereducated population. Singapore's leader understood that the nation's greatest resource was not land, natural resources, or foreign investment. It was its people. These contrast sharply with the position taken by Jamaica's leaders, who often speak about infrastructure, logistic hubs, technology parks, and investment corridors, yet they remain conspicuously silent on the crisis within our educational system, where thousands of students leave school every year without a literacy, numeracy, and technical skills required to compete in modern economy. Singapore's success was built on collectivism. Another point conveniently overlooked is that Singapore society is fundamentally different from Jamaica's. Singapore views its social, cultural, economic, and political survival through the lens of collectivism. Citizens understand that individual success is connected to national success. Jamaica, by contrast, has evolved into a society where individual advancement often supersedes collective responsibility. Political tribalism, patronage, and culture of personal gain have become embedded in national life. Before Jamaica can become Singapore, Jamaicans must first decide whether they are prepared to embrace the discipline, accountability, and collective sacrifice that made Singapore possible. Economic miracles are not created through speeches. They are built through shared national purpose. And it goes on, I might read more, but I have callers who I want to engage this conversation. And I could redact Jamaica out of that and put the word Bahamas and echo the same sentiments. I don't see this. The next Singapore when we are not as disciplined. That doesn't fit in our culture. It is not who we are. We don't want to be like them because we are not wanting to have that type of discipline. These cut you behind for throwing gum on the ground. Beetle! For gum? No, let's go to the caller, man. They got to be crazy. They're different. They're different from us. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live. Caller, you there? Okay, the caller gone. I guess I can continue reading this. Accountability is not optional. The response to Prime Minister Holness goes on. And this is an article written by Richard Hugh Blackford, a Jamaican, who is responding to his prime minister and saying that they could be the next Singapore of the Caribbean. Singapore also operates under a culture of accountability that Jamaica has never seriously embraced. Transparency, accountability are not matters of political convenience. Now, if you listen to our current finance minister and his version of accountability and transparency, we see that we will never be like Singapore. But anyway, let's go. They are fundamental requirements for public service. Contrast this with Jamaica, where accountability is often something citizens must beg for. Information is withheld. Reports are delayed. Investigations are obstructed. Institutions designed to protect the public interest are routinely weakened whenever they threaten powerful interests. Singapore's sole anti-corruption agency is the Corrupt Practices Investigation Bureau, the CPIB, operating under the Prime Minister's office. It is an independent agency responsible for investigating and preventing corruption across both the public and private sectors. Singapore's anti-corruption framework is fared because it works. With the CPIB, investigators possess real authority. Public officials are not insulated by political connections. Cases are pursued regardless of status or influence. Meanwhile, Jamaica's Integrity Commission has spent years battling legal challenges, procedural roadblocks, and political resistance. Reports remains buried. Investigations remain stalled. Public confidence continues to erode. One cannot seriously evoke Singapore while simultaneously tolerating a system where anti-corruption institutions are continuously undermined. Go ahead, call it your life.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm well. I think, you know, we have a hard choice to make.
We have a hard choice, you think? We didn't make a hard choice.
No. We got a hard choice to make. See, if you want a particular lifestyle, that comes at a cost.
And we have made our decision that we don't want that lifestyle because we ain't
no,
stuff
no,
the cost.
No. When we play dress up and we look like everybody else in the world, we want the things they want.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We drive the cars they drive. We go on the same vacations that they go on. All those things come at a price. Now, right now, in terms of our lifestyle, the public treasury pays the cost of most of that. Now, until we get to the place where we are producing, we are producing the money and capital we need, you know, we're going to have a corrupt society, a corrupt culture. Now, you know, I know Singapore is a hard road. But for us to get where we want to be, it's something that we're going to have to adjust to, Mr. Nuri.
I appreciate you, and I agree with you wholly. But I don't prepare to walk barefoot on rocks no more. I used to do that when I used to go on the beach, where they had prickles on the beach back in the day. And thank God someone bulldozed all of that down. Now I have soft sand, right? I ain't doing those hard life no more with that sticky limestone rock. I ain't going through that no more.
Okay. The average American, right, has to save a year. And they come here on vacation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we get too much money from like from the Eastern Draw, and we're on the plane.
You're absolutely right. I got to write that down for a new conversation.
Now,
I got to write that point down for a conversation in the future.
Yeah, we need to understand there is a specific time frame for saving money. Now, you know, how many people you know past 60, right? And if they don't get their NIB, they are like a week away from some hard stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, now see, if you don't have that mindset, and we gotta acquire that mindset, Mr. Nuri. You know, our politicians can make a whole bunch of promises. And those who, you know, those who succeed, you know, they fall in line with, you know, whatever a particular political agenda is, you know, FNM or PLP, you know. And, you know, you see questions whose lives go in like five-year swings. Five-year swings, good.
I appreciate you.
Things bad.
Yep, that's how they say.
You know.
But let me get these other callers in. But I appreciate everything you said. Everything you said, I agree with. Let's go, caller. Garden Radio AM, you're live. This text says, we'll never be like Singapore ever, simply because Singapore has consequences for their action. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was in and out. You know, I like when you were open line, but she was open mind. But, you know, the thing is, to the last caller, dress up, they shout bless up, and things still mess up. Don't get your stress up. But listen to me, man. At the beginning of your show, right, one would be naive to believe that, I don't care which administration, that some people don't use public funds to contribute to their campaign. I just thought that's a degree of naivety there if you don't believe in that. But as it relates to corruption, which is irreparable, right, We saw a situation in Jamaica. I don't know if you saw it coming. I have a friend. You saw the situation with the guy, some MP or somebody in Jamaica, some anti-corruption entity that they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
Is putting his feet to the fire via giving accountability for your assets, right? So what I'm saying is us, we could talk about America and everybody else, right? But what happens, the difference with America, they have systems in place. They have something they call the Logan's Act. And then you saw Trump brought in the Inflation Reduction Act. Mm-hmm. Even Trump was had enough sense to pass that during the inflation. But what I'm saying is with the Logan's Act, what it stipulates is that it's illegal for government officials to meet with private entities and transnational companies to discuss the public's business without oversight. That's a big step in curtailing corruption. You have an oversight committee. It would have been, for me, somebody like Bishop Gomez, Simeon Hall, et cetera, in these meetings. You know, somebody who's reputable and honesty and God-fearing, you know, to be honest. But, you know, for us to sit back, you know, the calling talk shows is just to bring a level of consciousness. I'm not looking for any changes, you know, because I'm soon out of here. That's what I'm saying. And so, you know, we all could appreciate Ms. Candia Danes. I don't want to call any names. We could see people attacking her. But for me, is there any evidence that Mr. Danes is involved in this, even though he owns the boat? I don't vouch for anybody. But what I'm saying is, you know, everybody, I see a lot of things coming up as relates to with the police force that everybody's denying. You're not hearing anything from the commissioner of police. I'm wondering if we are safe as citizens because with those characters on the, serving the public, you shouldn't be concerned, Mr. Newey.
You should be concerned.
I'm very concerned because I know what I've experienced in the past. I've had death threats from police officers. I've said on the radio, but nothing has been done because I'm a nobody. I'm just telling you, where is the solidarity? I'm saying I've had death threats. They've told me these things. They've broke, damaged my spine, all these different things, but nothing has happened. But you, when it comes to other people, it's very important. We saw the situation down in Guyana where the police chief wearing gold chain telling the civilian, you know me, and telling the police he would kill him. He was not arrested. Nothing has happened. And we're going to allow these things to happen. We see we're slowly sinking in a sea of calamity, but everybody's running around talking about progress or progress or whatever.
You know, I mean, I appreciate you.
That gentleman really made that statement that if he was prime minister or whatever, Babaka, he would only do.
I hope that he'd be facetious.
I don't think it would be naive or foolish enough to even make those kind of statements. No. We're all taxpayers, so we should be all sales.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Let's go to the next caller. I have to read this text. It says, good day. I'm 65 years old and have never heard anyone asking the question how much the oil companies make and the high rent they charge to station operators, but they always talk about the dollars, something the government get. The oil companies make the killing, but we never. Let's boycott the oil people then. Let's don't buy gas from them no more and find out another way. Right? Let's go call it. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Call you there? Call the girl once. Call the girl twice. Okay. Good day, Mr. Nuri. Singapore government structure is a one-party system. When policies put in place, elections don't change them. Yeah, they had the same party for the last scores of years. Their democracy different from ours. We go back and forth and have an alternative. They don't have no alternative. But people say, let's be like Singapore without delving underneath the surface to understand how that economy works. How does that system work? And I'm seeing educated people, I mean more educated than me, they have real degrees, saying, yes, we could be there. And I say, clearly you own Bahamian. If you see how we park on sidewalks, right, how we run traffic lights, why every car dented, you wouldn't say we'd be like Singapore no time soon. Some F&M supporters are suggesting that internationally determined and pegged gasoline prices would be different now and not have impacted us in the same way today if the F&M had won. What utter foolishness, bottom feeders. I think that's foolishness. I think that what's happening, whoever be in the government, prices would have been the same. Only difference is one might have considered not or lowering the whatever VAT fee or the duties on gas. That might be different, but we don't know. But I know that VAT and things are off in Grand Bahama regarding certain parts of the electricity bill. That's something to talk about. It's now 12 o'clock. I'm going to read this Jamaican article again. This article by Richard Hugh Blackford and his critique of Mr. Holness, the Prime Minister of Jamaica, regarding how Jamaica would be the next Singapore of the Caribbean And his critique is, clearly he's not, the Prime Minister of Jamaica, it's not analyzing what's happening. I remember commenting on this, say someone must have given the Caribbean leaders an economic model to follow, handed out to them, handing out talking points to the Caribbean leaders so they can preach to its constituents. All are coincidentally saying the same thing, citing the same reasonings, sharing the same loftier cookie-cutter goals. Our leaders seem not to have any original thought. They all share the same dream, walking the same prepared pathway. Two roads diverge into some type of yellow wood, and they all are eager to travel the path where the grass is trampled upon. This has been Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. You have a blessed day. Goodbye.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.